Well, thank you for joining us for Sunday service. Let's go to the Lord. Let's start with prayer. God, we thank you, God, for your just enduring presence in our lives. God, for your faithfulness, that you stick by us, that you never forsake us. I just pray, God, that your spirit would be just a living water for those who are parched and thirsty. Or just for your love, God, just to come and just minister, that we would bask in the light of your grace. So I just pray, Lord, just open our hearts, Lord. Help us to be vulnerable to your word, God, just welcoming of your word and what your word has to say about us, God. So thank you. Thank you that you are so faithful. And I trust, Lord, and believe that your word will be effective, God, by your spirit and to your glory. Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. Wrapping up the Beatitudes and then talking about as Jesus transitions out of the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who are merciful, those full of true righteousness, not self-righteousness, those who reject a righteousness based on our own moral code, our fallen moral code, or, you know, there is a blessedness, which means happy are those, means true happiness comes through these unlikely qualities. And these are must-have qualities of a believer. These are the descriptions of a believer. This is where God is going in sanctification. So if you're not poor in spirit, if you can't identify with people in pain, if you can't identify with those who don't have, if you are unable to identify with suffering, if you feel entitled and in, you know, if you have a sense of indignation about other people's sins, but rarely do you demonstrate an indignation about your own sin, then you are not poor in spirit. And so God is going to move. That's how he starts all this. There's an invitation for those to live this upside down life, to come into the kingdom, because Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to 7, is introducing what the kingdom life is about. This is the invitation. This is the good news that he has made a way through his suffering and death. The good news is the message of the kingdom. The good news is not, I'm saved. You know, saved to what? You're saved from your sins and the life of this natural life you're saved to. You can't just be saved from and then not saved to. And we don't get to negotiate what we're saved to. That's what the Israelites tried to do. You were saved from your sins. Yes, you were saved from Egypt, but they were trying to negotiate or even dictate what they were going to be saved to and how God was going to save them. But God knows best, and he's asking the people to trust him. And true happiness, because there is one irrefutable, obvious, just this idea that God presents, and that is that he is life. And everything about happiness, everything required of true happiness comes from him, because he is the most happy God. There is no glorifying God without being happy, but happy in God. That means it is irrespective of circumstance. And he is creating us with the qualities required to be happy. If you read the Beatitudes, right, peacemaking, you know, if you, you know, those who hunger for true righteousness, right? Those are those ones who are submitted to the law of God, especially the greatest commandment, to love, especially to love one another. Those who are poor in spirit, not hypocritical, not self-righteous, you know, not so angered by other people's sin and so gracious to yourself. But this is about the kind God is creating a new human being. I just can't emphasize that enough. You are a new creation, new, with a new heart, right? That's why it's called being born again. This is a new way to be being human. And so Jesus comes to show us because he is, right? We're becoming like him. We have a heart like him. We have an image now, a new image in light of the sun, right? So this is new. Everything here is new. So this is what it means. So when he, so let's dive into the scriptures and really just, because he says, okay, these are the qualities. So in that context of the Beatitudes, he says, you are salt. So salt is the quality of the Beatitudes. You know, people talk about, well, salt is flavorful and it also is a preservative. Those are the two most common. And yet don't point to the Beatitudes. There is no flavor nor preservation with the Beatitudes is the flavor because that's who God is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, the Lord has those qualities. That's what's so tasteful. And it's preserving because if you know anything about the gospel is about connecting with God, connecting with each other. Because people are just in the fallen world bad, really, really bad at connecting. You know, so quick to distance ourselves, to have space. It's just so suffocating when we're not made new, you know, to have life on life because people can be difficult. So the qualities of Beatitudes are the kind of people that can connect with anybody, love anybody, have intimacy with anybody deeply and broadly. That's what preservation is. And that's why it's salt. So today we're going to talk about light. Again, the Beatitudes, critical, right? But we are light, right? In context of the Beatitudes, true to the word of God. So let's read Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So we're going to talk about, you know, like you are light. And what does light do? Well, it shines, right? So let's just talk about what it means to be light. Well, first of all, let's talk about what it means for Jesus to be the light. And so John 1, 4 and 5, we need to really understand this so that we can understand, right, the sermon that talks about how we're light, right? Because light in the sense we're the moon. The moon gives us light, right? It doesn't generate light, right? And only the sun, right? So our light only comes because Jesus' light reflects off of us. And we can see that in scripture, right? So John 1, 4, 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This, you know, it's just the life was the light of men. And like in Jesus, right? And this is why the Beatitudes, the qualities of a happy life are the qualities of Jesus, because he is all of those things. And so when you look at the life of Jesus, what Jesus wants to see is he wants to see his qualities. And because those qualities are the light of men. Like, that's what we say. Like, that paints everything. Now you're going to begin to see. What was Jesus's indictment of the Pharisees and all those, you know, who rejected him? You know, but they see, but they don't see. Like, they don't have the light. You know, somebody, you know, St. Augustine, you know, said this, is that evil is not an entity. Evil is like darkness, right? Evil is like darkness, right? In that it is the absence of good. Like darkness is the absence of light. And I agree with that, right? Festering in darkness. And so Jesus breaks through, right? What, you know, people are just fumbling around in the dark, have become dark creatures. You know, I used to show when we talk about light and darkness, you know, those under, like deep sea, under, you know, water, like creatures, they look weird. Like something happens, like bats, you know, like things that live in dark places, right? They're gruesome creatures, to be honest, you know? And but now they also have that, like this pseudo light, you know, these like really fish with these like fangs, and they have these like light dangling to bait other fish. I mean, just kind of, it's marvelous actually. But I mean, the point is, you know, it's like, why did God do that? Well, he did that because in the way that God created creatures in the darkness, it's just, you know, when you begin to shine light on it and you see it for what it is, it's gruesome. And God wants us to know that, you know, but at night, you know, when the nightlife comes on, it feels so enticing. You know, the nightclubs and the bars and, you know, you name it. It's like, you know, nightlife seems so glorious. You know, why do you think people love the city? Because it comes alive at night. John 3:19, right? In the same vein. And this is the judgment. Now, just as a preface to John chapter 3 here, he's talking to Nicodemus, right? A Pharisee of Pharisees. So you're not, you know, the things that he's saying really, really are about the Pharisees. So let's read. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things, I underline wicked, because you're talking about like religious people here, people who could do no wrong, at least in the sight of men. But you know what they lacked? They lacked love, love for their fellow man, right? And so hates the light. You know, they were doing 1,000 things right, but the one thing that didn't do right, right, was the greatest thing that could ever be done. And they hate the light. So who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true, there is a relationship between truth and light. Just like there's a relationship between light and the word and truth and the word, right? Light, the word of God, truth, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? There's a truth that is grounded in what God says. And people are inventing truth left and right. You know, whether, you know, it's like tolerance, right? In our culture to things that are not tolerated in scripture. Right? Dating unbelievers. I mean, like, people want to have a version where everything is inclusive. Like, you can't mix light and darkness. It says, but whoever does what is true, love the light. You know who doesn't love the light? Hypocrites. And that's what Pharisees were. They were living a double life. That means on the surface, people view you, right? Like, as righteous. But deep down inside, you're not true. And people of the light, right? It says, so that. Why do people come to the light? So they, it may be clearly seen. They want to be seen. That his works have been carried out in God. Do you know why I want to be clearly seen? Because it's the very definition of love. Like the idea that God counts, knows like how many hairs I have, right? Knows, you know, I sob. Like the greatest reason where I, you know, like I'm, why I'm so broken before God so often is just because he knows me. Knows me and all of my failures and deep-rooted sins. And here's the thing, and yet he still loves me. Like I bask in being known, and yet we don't bask in other people knowing us. And you know what that is? That's self-righteousness. That's hypocrisy. And that is darkness. Light is light. Because you know why I say, you know why we display, right, all our inadequacies before others? So we don't take credit for our unrighteousness. We don't pretend like I'm better than you. Like, I think you're a bigger sinner. Like, what do you think is the source of most fights? You know what it is? I'm better than you. Like, I'm more right than you. It is. You're arguing that you're worse than me. You know, we try to put each other in such a bad light. You ever wonder why you don't put yourself in a bad light? You know, you ever counter with like, you know, you know, I remember like, do you ever say when you're like, you know, like spouse tells you all these like negative things, do you ever say you have no idea? It's worse than that. Do you argue that it's worse than that? When the truth of the matter is, it's probably worse than that. But you'll never fight that it's worse, right? You'll fight tooth and nail that they're worse than you. Now, you come before God to be clearly seen, to be clearly seen as a hypocrite. You love being caught in your hypocrisy. You love being caught. You know why? Because that's how God gets the glory. Right? Do you know what this picture is? You know why? It light in darkness. Are you serious? When light comes into the darkness, it's blinding. You ever turn on the light, right? You know, in a, like a dark room. I remember walking in, you know, like inadvertently, like people, you know, are watching a movie or something. And I you know, flip on the light. It's like, turn off the light, turn off the light. You know, that happened actually quite often when, you know, we, you know, when I was in the military and we were practicing light discipline, you know, so that the enemy can't see us. But, you know, when you flip, like inadvertently flip on like the light or turn on the flashlight, you know, it's like everybody's shouting, like, you know, get the light off. And that's what it's like, you know. It's it when light comes into darkness, it's jarring. It's like, whoa. You know, when people become transparent and vulnerable and they start sharing, you know, and you're like, whoa. I mean, the idea that other people are doing that, you know, like exposing themselves like that, and the fact that you would want to do that, the fact that you would want to be known. People cannot love you until they really know you. And people who really love you, think about it. Like your family, you know why you think they love you so much? Because they really know you. Matthew 5:14, you know, it says, you're the light of the world, a city on all. And here's the thing. not going to read the rest of it. It says it cannot be hidden. It doesn't say it is not hidden, or it doesn't say it should not be hidden. It says, if you are a Christian, your light cannot be hidden. Not should not. Not even must not be hidden. It says it cannot be hidden. Right? The word is dunamia, means it's the Greek, it means power, right? So it doesn't have the power to be hidden. It is not able to be hidden. You can't hide it, right? And he goes on, it's like people lighting a lamp and putting it under a bag, you know, under a basket. You know, it's like lighting a lamp but not putting it up. You can't do it. You know, Jesus is saying, if you're the light, you're the light. That means those beatitude qualities, they're growing. And it's becoming obvious to people. Wow, man, you've changed. Do people say that about you? Are you poor in spirit? Are you always arguing about how sinful the other person is? You know, do you stand on the righteousness of God, or do you stand on your rightness? Are you merciful? That word means both forgiving and compassionate. Do you hold forgiveness, you know, like over others? Oh, I need time. And, you know, do you do that? Do you play that game? Do you think God does that with you? When you go before God, he says, I'm going to need some time, Henry. You know, I'm going to need some time. Come back tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about forgiveness then. Maybe after, maybe contrition. I don't even know if you apologize properly. Do you play that game? No. God doesn't play that game. Now, grant you, it's radical to think like that. Now, I'm going to tell you, everything that we're talking about here is radical. Right? So it cannot be hidden. Psalm 139:23. It cannot be hidden. And more than just the fact that it cannot be hidden, you're all about. This is, I mean, we're going to talk more about it when we get to the Lord's Prayer. But this is the Lord's Prayer, right? This undergirds it. Because you're like, you go before God and you want to be known and you want to know what he knows about you. All the hypocritical ways, all the ways that you're offending God and other people, right? You're not always aware that you're offending others, that you are callous to others, that you're unloving. So prayer, if you're not doing this, like if you think you're completely self-aware, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Oh, my goodness. Try me? That's another way of saying test me. Because there's stuff in here, when it gets squeezed, you know, like you give me a good like set of circumstances, you know, the right person, oh, it'll gush. You know, negative energy. Boy, it'll gush, you know, just mean words. It'll gush. And you know what the psalmist is saying? God, squeeze me. I need to take care of this thing. I need to know what comes out in these circumstances. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, anything that breaks your heart, and lead me. These are all verbs. Lead me in the way everlasting. This is saying thy will be done. Here's the thing about why it's so difficult to come before God. Why? Because in all honesty, I just it took a long time for me to really grapple with this. So just think about this. You might love God, but everybody starts out not liking God. Our problem isn't that we don't love God. Our problem is we don't like him. More specifically, we don't like his ways. We don't. Because you know why? At the height of our arrogance and the proof that we are fallen, we think we know better than God about what makes us happy. And everything about what makes us happy is circumstantial. If we had a better spouse, a better house, a better job, a better education, better children, better this, better that. And if God doesn't give you those things, never mind, he's trying to make you the kind of human being that could be happy, whether you think you have a better spouse or doesn't even matter about the house or the job or the children or the, you know, like friends. Like, God is doing this amazing work. It's jarring. We just don't like his ways. And so to say, to lead me in the way everlasting, the Christians in the early church were not called Christian, right? They were called the way. The way. Looking at their life and how much Christians suffered back then, it was the way. It was the way. Romans 13, 12, right? The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So now we're transitioning, right? So we're talking about Jesus giving light and then us putting on light, because he's saying you are the light. So this is what it means to be light. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Like, you have to actually cast off and reject the ways of darkness and put on. That's radical, by the way. Casting off is not weaning. It's cold turkey. It's radical. Like, you don't wean evil. You cast off evil, right? So people say, Henry, you don't understand. Like, when you're doing counseling, you know, some of the most hardened sins, when you don't understand, or you name it, you don't know what I'm struggling with. If you think radically, right? Think radically. That's what this is. Paul's saying, cast it off as if it was garbage. Whatever that life, whatever you struggle with, throw it away. Cast it off. Radically turn around. That's what that means. So, to be light, you cast off the darkness and put on the armor of light. So what does that talk about? Oh, what does that mean? So let's go on. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not sensually, not in quarreling and jealousy. What does that mean? That is casting off those things is radically committing to, and we're going to see, radically vowing, radically proclaiming and even telling others, hold me accountable, right? I promise you that I will never, right? These are the kinds of casting off, right? And he says, cast those things off, make those commitments, leave them in the past, right? Transition here now, come through the narrow gate. Because see, think about casting off, like whatever it is that we're, you know, like whatever is holding us back, casting them off. You can't put on without casting off. That's my point. And that's the point that Paul's making here. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to cast off? I have a line there. It says, make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision. You know what that means? What is the source of your temptation? All right, make no provision. You know, whatever that may be, right? whatever it takes to bite your tongue, you know, not let things come out, whatever is the source of your, you know, addiction, right? You know, like, make no provision. Bring people into it, shine light on it. There's nothing that can't be handled radically by shining more light. You know, I've heard parents taking doors off of, you know, their children's, you know, rooms, you know, monitoring internet use, or, you know, if they're, you know, if it's gaming, and, you know, like, making no provision in love, in love. Shining. What was that? It says, well, you are the light, and let, what does light do? Well, light shines. It says, let your light shine before others, Matthew 5:16, so that they may see. This is what shining looks like. They're going to see your good works stemming from those qualities that are being shaped, those beatitudes. And this is how people give glory to God. They see that and they go, wow, like, you don't see that every day. You don't see people like that every day. People with the beatitudes, you don't see people like that. You don't see people forgiving betrayals. You don't. Not again, by the way. And again, you don't see, you know, the beatitudes, poor in spirit. You know, if you're a person of means, you know, but you got people of pain in your life, you don't see that every day. Because you know why? Those people, they hang around each other, you know, and they don't have the flexibility or the privilege of having broad relationships. You don't see that every day. You don't see people like, you know, in the heat of an argument say, you know what, I'm sorry. Wow. Like, more focused on what's coming out of their mouth than what is happening to them. More focused on their own sins, you know, taking the log off of your own eyes than, you know, focusing on the splinter in the other person's eye. You don't see that every day. You know why? Because they're not that kind of a human being. And so when you relate like that, and when you're generous like that, people go, well, you don't see that every day. Who's responsible for that? That's why we make, you know, when we make much of our own sins, when we make much of our own sins, we make much of him, right? Owning that. But if that's light, if you don't do that, you're not light, right? And it can't be hidden. So if you're not like that, it's obvious to people, and especially your own family members. John 8:12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. That, you know what that means? Whoever picks up their cross and is willing to die to themselves will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know how you have light? You know how you become the light? When you stop trying to live your own life according to your own way, right? But you say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. Because you have to follow Jesus. You become one with God, by the way. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become one. That means his way is your way. His will, your will. Romans 13:13 says, notice this now. You're going to see a series of languages, and it's all about walking. Shining is walking. It's not you're not talking the talk here. What you will not see a shortage of in Christendom in America, right? People talk the talk. They do. I mean, it's like, you know, they'll talk about the best sermon, who's the best preacher, oh, my favorite author. You know, people talk the talk. You know who their favorite Christian singer is, you know? And here's the, you know what? I'm relatively ecclesiastical. You know what that means? I'm very, you know, like, denomination. Okay, well, you know, we're a Baptist church, you know, and I think, you know, because, you know, there's a lot there for us, you know, in the way we're baptized and so forth. But I'll be honest with you, you know, if the experience is why you prefer a denomination or why you prefer a church, that's not going to be enough for you. If being charismatic helps you to walk, be charismatic, right? If the word of God and the focus, right, on just amazing Bible teaching helps you to walk, you know, go to that focused place. If that's helping people and people are walking, but if you're looking for an experience and that's the end, that's not going to help you. Because light is about walking. See, when we follow Jesus, Jesus is walking. That's why Jesus says, follow me, because he's going somewhere. Do you know what I'm saying? He's going somewhere with you. And we don't want to go. I mean, that's our problem, because we're not that radical. Well, Jesus says, if you want light, you got to follow. That's why he says, walk. Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness. You know, and you can add other forms of like addictive things that prevent you from walking. It could be TV. It could be internet. It could even be your children. Whatever it is that keeps you from walking, okay? Don't. Cast it off. And I'm not saying casting off your children, right? You got to figure that out, right? Not in sexual morality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions to gratify its desires. Here it is. Psalm 56:12. It says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may what? Walk before God in the light of life. It says, I must perform my vows to you. If you're going to walk, you got to be committed. You have to, you know, like you say, okay, God, you know, it could be your 10th, 100th time of making vows that you've broken. Here's the thing. God deserves no less than that. No less. Like if you settle down, like, oh, you know what? The vow thing doesn't working. The light thing doesn't work. You know, and then you come to this place of compromise. No, that's not going to work. You know, like you have to acknowledge that's not going to happen. Right? It's jolting. Light shining in the darkness will always be jolting. It's like turning on the light, right? When you've been in the dark for a while. It's going to be like blinding, right? You must perform your vows to the Lord. You must. You must be committed, right? That I may walk. Notice that? Like, if you're not committed to a life of love, right? If you say, well, you know, my kids and my this and my that, and, you know, like, that's why. No, you perform your vow. Say, God, that I'm going to walk that. Walk the great commandments. I'm going to walk that. I'm going to forgive, and then I'm going to figure it out. Those are the vows. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to need your help. Why? That I'm, you can't, if you don't do that, if you think you're going to bring a knife to a gunfight, mm-mm. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful shouts. Oh, here are the happy people who know how to have a good time. When I say good, I'm talking good. I'm not talking about fun. I'm talking about good. Who know how to be content irrespective of your circumstances. That's why it's called a shout, right? Oh, Yahweh, they walk about in the light of your countenance. In your name, they rejoice all the day. And in your righteousness, they rise up. Blessed are you who walk in the light of your countenance. The happiest people on planet Earth are people who walk in the light of God. And those are the ones who shine. Doesn't matter. I know, I know. I know you think you know, right? The problem isn't your circumstances. You're not happy because you're not walking in the light. You think I could be light if my, you know, like things at home improved, things at my job improved, things, you know, with my relationship with this person, this. No. Happiness is one bow away, one submission, one relinquishing, one renouncing. Blessed people walk in the light of his countenance. 1 John 1:7-9, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. If we're honest about his word, honest to let that inspect us, let that shape us and test us, then what does that do? If we're broken before the word of God, then, well, here's the gospel coming in. We have fellowship with one another. Isn't it amazing? This is the gospel. Having fellowship, which is the partnership, koinonia, it's a partnership that we have with each other, right? What allows us to be one and intimate and tight, that we walk honestly, not hypocritically, before the word of God. And the blood of his, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, if we think our stuff doesn't stink like the other person, we deceive ourselves. You know, people, honestly, I mean, I don't want to use the poop analogy here, but come on, the fart. Like, how many people are disgusted by your own fart? I'm not, I'm just being honest, you know? Like, I'm disgusted by other people's farts. I feel so invaded, you know? Walking into a stinky bathroom, oh my goodness. It's just, it is our fallen nature. We get used to our own stink. You know, I remember, you know, being out in the field in the army all the time. Like, man, you really do get used to your stink. You know, you really do. You know, it's only when other people get a whiff of you. I mean, it's hard to believe that you stink that badly. And if you don't know how your stuff stinks because you can't smell it yourself, you are deceived, right? And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we posture and say, God, search me, test me, know me. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the thing. Do you want to stand in your own self-righteousness? Or do you want to have joy from being cleansed of your unrighteousness? You know what that means? The reason you're unhappy, stop blaming God. Stop blaming other people. The reason why you're unhappy is because you love the darkness. And the darkness is not giving you what you want. You know? And you blame others, you blame God, right? We're unhappy if we walk in the light and faithful to his word. He promises happiness. I can tell you, I'm older than probably most of you. I've never been happier in all my life than I am today. I am. I'm very content. I fight, right, to not allow, right, deception, that circumstance can make me more content. I do fight that. And it's a challenge, right? But discontentment has no place in our lives. Grumbling has no place. It's like saying, God, don't test me. I don't want you to know me. I don't even want to know myself. You know, and all this junk is coming out, and yet we're still focused on other people and how much their stuff stinks while we still defecate and fart. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk. Again, all these passages just focus on the walk. And part of the walk is be careful who you're walking with. Look, people who make light of God's word, you know, who want to redefine what it means to love one another, redefine it as, hey, look, let's be one and tolerant of sin, right? That's not love. Tolerance of sin is not love. And you can't walk with people like that because you can't. That's what God says. Right? We are, right? The people we walk with. We are the people we walk with. If there's no ambition, you are the people that are closest to you. And here's how you know you're walking, okay, in the light of God. And you know, and here's how you know that you're not walking. You don't know where to go with your pain. If you're walking in the light, you know where to go with that pain. You know how to reconcile. You know how to bring relationship together through the sacrifice and the dying of self. You know. But if you're unwilling to do what God commands in following him according to his way, you're not shining. And here's the thing. You are now stuck and trapped in your pain. That's why I say if you follow him, you will be freed from your old self and you'll be happy. It says, walk as children of light. And here's an important thing. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. When we read in scripture, we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of righteousness, right? Think about, you know, what, how a tree or a plant gets fruit. Sunshine. Light. Light feeds. Light feeds. Walk in the light. Unlike trees, they can just, right, stand still and get the light, right? As children of God, you have to walk, right? Because light comes from the source of his son. So that means you have to follow to get the light. That means if you want fruit, you got to be near the light source. That's the picture. That's the picture here, right? So if you've been away from the light, don't be surprised you don't have fruit. Don't be surprised that you only got so much love to give, right? Love, joy, peace, okay? Where's your peace? You can only have peace, right? If God gives you peace. Isn't that what he promised? Not as the world gives. Because the world gives peace through circumstances, giving you a... That's why the prosperity gospel is so poisonous. Because we are left to think that God is going to improve our circumstances and give us peace. And he just said the opposite. That's the way the world gives you peace, right? That's why we worry, so that our circumstances can be better, not God. We walk. We take up our cross. We take his word seriously. We walk, right? And follow. And then what? Bask in the light, and then the fruit comes. John 15:7. If you abide in me, right? Here's the thing. The word of God, faithful to the word of God, right? And my words abide in you, right? So there's being faithful to the word of God, and then there's the walk of God. Those, like the truth, right? And walk. Now that's what shining is. says, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the only proof that you are a Christian. You're able to hold his word pure and to do them. That's what it means to abide, right? So that means if you're going to remain and stay with Jesus, you got to follow. That's what abiding is, right? It means to stay and remain in Christ as he is moving about. So, and those, we have to be faithful to his word, and we have to be faithful to the walk. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near. Okay, our last verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We're coming before God. I know it's like many of us are like if we've been in the dark for a while, we almost kind of cringe at like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like turning on the lights all of a sudden, like the floodlights, you know, coming into a dark place, right? It says we draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, it's like jumping into the pool. You know, I know it's like a little jolting at first. Don't try to walk into it. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to like gradually, you know, it's like, hey, look, it might be jolting, but it's going to be good. And so we draw near with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I love being known by God. I love when he's having to pry my fingers loose from the things and the cares of this world. When you're freed, right? The cares of this life, isn't that what Jesus said? Choke us. It just squeezes life out of us. It does. And keeps us, right? Keeps the leaves from taking in the light, doesn't it? That's why it's the parable of the sower, right? Like, it's just like the seeds are sprinkled and it's about to come up. It's taking the light and it just squeezes it. You know, it just like squeezes it. The cares of this life and just puts you back into darkness. I love coming before God. And, you know, and here's why you're a Christian. You know you're a Christian because you want to be cleaned. You want the light. You're a plant, right? That must have the light. And if you don't have the light, you shrivel up. You ever see, you know, plants that are supposed to grow in the light? And then you know, and then there's too much shade and you see the, you know, leaves wither. That's what a Christian is. And if you're in the light, it may be jolting, but stay there. That's where you thrive. That's what Jesus wants you to be convinced of. Don't be afraid of God's word. Don't be afraid to be tested, to see what comes out. Let it come out, but then be affected by what comes out. Because there's nothing more that we want in this life than to be in the light of God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So let's not try to mince words here. Let's not try to, you know, liberalize, right, God's word. Let's not try to say something in the word of God. It is not meant to be saying. Let's hold fast to the confession. For he who promised is faithful. He's saying, trust me. Trust me with where your life is. Trust me. He is, because your life comes with a promise. None of it is going to waste. And if something seems more precious than the ways of God, then you have been deceived. And your problem is not that those things are actually more precious, is that you are deceived into thinking it's more precious. And that's why we have to come before God to be cleansed of the deception. You don't need a better job to be happy. Your children don't need you to have a better job for them to be truly happy, right? God has provided everything in your life to be able to walk it out faithfully. That means you come to say, God, I serve at your pleasure. What is it that you're saying to me? And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, we don't just say, hey, here's the do's and don'ts. No, let us consider how to stir up. You know what I'm saying? And if somebody's struggling, you know, and not in the light, you don't tell them to get to work. You tell them to come into the light. The joyful shouts of being in the light, the warmth of basking in his presence. And here's the thing, for those who are neglecting, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Look, we need one another. God designed it, right? So that without the exhortation and encouragement of one another, we're going to fall flat. We're going to fall on our face because that's why it's the body of Christ. This is the ways of God. You know, there is no like, oh, I'm going to do my, you know, personal evangelism and I'm going to do my personal donations. And, you know, I just don't have a lot of time for people. You know, and God knows I'm kind of busy right now. How do you, all of the Beatitudes, honestly, they're all relational. And definitely not about the family, because he says that. Right? Even the Gentiles, right, even know how to give good gifts to their children. That's what Jesus says. Right? They're not going to give glory to the Father. Oh, what a great mom. You must be a Christian. I can tell you, right? I've known a lot of Christian moms, and I've known a lot of secular moms, and being a good mom is not relegated to just being Christian. Nor is being a good dad. You know, there are great dads that are not Christians. They know how to give good gifts to their children. They know how to sacrifice. Look at all the Asian moms, right, who don't believe yet they are dying for their children. You know what Jesus says? Even the Gentiles know how to do that. Here's the thing. You know what the Gentiles don't know how to do? They don't know how to show their children. They don't know how to show their children, okay, what a good life is. They don't know how to show their children how to truly be happy. You know what they do? They get them in the bondage of things and statuses, right? And circumstantial peace. That's how the Gentiles do it. Because they're in it themselves. They don't know how to free them. They don't know how to lead them to a life of freedom because they don't know how to live a life of freedom themselves. But that's what it means to walk in the light of God. You know what that means? Your children will see it too. That means your spouse will see it. That means we have to be honest with ourselves. Honest, transparent before God to say, search me. God, let other people search, speak into my life. Let it happen. Right? Don't be so dismissive. All right, so let's wrap it up. Being light happens when we radically leave and die to the old self and its preferences and put on Jesus Christ, the new life. A child of life radically rejects the double life of hypocrisy. Shining before others is vowing to transparently walk in truth. Shining the light in our own sins without blaming others for what comes out of us. It is also a life committed to serving others to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we're like plants, Lord. We just long to bask in your light. Just put on your light, God, just to be nourished by your light, that fruit may come out of us, the aroma of the light. So we just pray, God, just give us courage to step out in faith, to walk, God, in the light of God, Lord, to follow you wherever you lead us. Help us to reject the deceiving God words of the world, that happiness comes through circumstance. Help us to cling on to your promises, that we may be faithful to abide in you and your words, to abide in us. Thank you, in Jesus' name.